like a sunrise warming us up. My drive's cruising on the highlight, spending all of my time kicking with you, honey, with you. Ooh, honey, with you, oh, ooh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. We have amazing guests on the show today. Representative Ralph Norman joins us to discuss what's going on in Capitol Hill, and Christian musician Sean Foyt will share why it's critical for believers to get involved in politics. The spunky, conservative host of Turning Point USA's Poplitics, Alex Clark, joins us to talk about celebrities and current events. And later, Rebecca Friedrich will be here to discuss the teacher strikes in California. But first, I wanted to welcome a new sponsor, not just a sponsor, a partner here on Faith and Freedom. And I say partner because I try the products before I even tell you about them. But you know that studies show that people who eat their fruits and vegetables will live healthy, longer lives, and they'll have less heart disease and diabetes and less likely to have cancer. But if you're like me, sometimes you don't always eat right. You don't eat your fruits and vegetables all the time. But now you can get your servings of fruits and vegetables easy by simply adding a scoop of Field of Greens to your water, like Ted and I do every day. We drink it all throughout the day. It's a great product. To help you get started, I got you a 15% discount on your first order, plus another 10% off when you subscribe. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code FREEDOM to get that discount. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code FREEDOM. The FBI has evidence that Joe Biden engaged in a pay-to-play scheme with other countries, lining his families and his pockets while doing so. And while he was vice president, and the FBI doesn't want to hand over the information, Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer has subpoenaed the document known as an FD-1023. And the FBI was supposed to cough it up by May 10th. They haven't. And even after a promising phone call with Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the FBI says they're still not willing to. Joining us live now for more on how this has affected Capitol Hill, South Carolina Republican Representative Ralph Norman. Thank you so much for joining me, Congressman.
My pleasure to be with you, Chimene.
So from what I understand, the FBI Director Christopher Wray can be held in contempt, or Congress could block the agency's funding. What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, I think definitely cut the funding. I mean, the idea to build them a new building is completely insane. And secondly, you know, this erodes the confidence in an organization that once set the gold standard. The FBI was supposed to be nonpartisan and above reproach. By refusing to give Congressman Comer a letter that implicates the vice president's son, and really the Biden family itself, is unheard of. This is setting the precedent that is sending the wrong message, and I think the consequences will be coming. And I think Christopher Wray, among other things, has shown a disdain for the law, and I don't think he won't get back with it. But it won't get by with it, and I think the American people deserve to see what's in the letter. What are they hiding? It's not their letter. They get paid by the taxpayers. So the taxpayers deserve to know.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for saying that. They work for us. We should be able to see all of that. So do you think that this could finally change the minds of Democrats who still claim that Joe Biden is their best bet in 2024?
No, I don't think they're going to change their minds, Chimene. They, they turned a blind eye for a long time for the Bidens. This wasn't new. You know, I've been in Congress since 2017. We've always heard of the Bidens. While not knowing the details, we knew Hunter had a lot of drug problems. We knew that Joe Biden, even when he mentioned Ukraine, they wouldn't fire. He was going to withhold money unless they fired one of the ministers. But at this level, and, you know, the Republicans have been in charge since January, and I just thankfully we're finally having a hearings that are showing what this corruption is all about. And the FBI has turned a blind eye to it, as the mainstream media. I mean, look at the classified documents that were found at the Penn Center in Joe Biden's office and also in his garage. There were no FBI agents with guns, as they were with Trump. There were no alarms going off with police cars, as they were with President Trump. So it's a double standard that is not supposed to happen. And again, I think they'll be held accountable.
I am so glad that you said that. And let's be clear, the FBI seems to be in a lot of trouble, don't you think?
They're in a lot of trouble, and it's not the entirety of the FBI. I think the upper management has got some answering to do to the American people. And again, they work for us. We don't work for them. They're supposed to be, you know, the lady scales of justice are supposed to apply to them as they do for, you know, the Supreme Court and other things in the government. But I've been very disappointed. I think the American people have, but they cannot get by with continuing to ignore subpoenas, things that they have. And what have they got to hide? What else are they hiding? If they're hiding this, what else are they hiding?
And the agency has been going after, abusing its investigative power to go after U.S. citizens in many instances where it was absolutely, completely unnecessary. So the question of the day is, how can Congress put a stop to this?
Well, the only real way to put a stop to it is to get this administration out of office, which won't come, hopefully, until next year. But they're turning a blind eye to it. And they're stonewalling everything. And it's not just the FBI. I mean, you know, when I was on the Oversight Committee requesting letters from any of the agencies, they just don't do it. And as you mentioned, they've weaponized every department of government almost, and to arrest parents that go to school board meetings, to turn a blind eye from those who are attacking the Supreme Court justices. I mean, the list goes on and on. And that's not what the intent was for the FBI and the other agencies. And Merrick Garland, thank God he's not on the Supreme Court, because he's shown to be a complete partisan. And the leaders of the FBI, start with Peter Strzok, Christopher Wray, and others, are going to be held accountable.
Well, speaking of an abuse of power, the WHO Director General is calling for a global pandemic accord, another step towards one world government, one world order. Let's take a listen to this.
And for enhanced international cooperation, the pandemic accord, a generational commitment that we will not go back to the old cycle of panic and neglect that left our world vulnerable, but move forward with a shared commitment to meet shared threats with a shared response. That's why we say the pandemic accord is a generational agreement. A commitment from this generation is important because it's this generation that experiences how awful a small virus could be.
You've called for the U.S. to remove themselves from WHO before. So can we do that? Is that possible?
We called on McCarthy to put this in the agreement with the debt ceiling debate. And Tedros, he's completely under the CCP, Chinese Communist Party. He needs the commitment to telling the American people what killed a million Americans. He needs a commitment to saying to tell the American people of his ties to China. He needs a commitment we need to be out of it first, because you can't deal with a crook. He's a solid crook, and he's somebody that you can't trust. And why we're paying the dollars to be a part of it is unheard of. So hopefully we can pull out of it. President Trump did that when he was president, and I don't expect Joe Biden to do anything like that, because he's tied to China, and I think he's under the influence of China, and that's why he's stonewalling on so many issues.
That's just heartbreaking. Let's switch gears a little bit. You're from the beautiful state of South Carolina, but even you know that at the end of the day, every state is a border state. And this border is out of control. How can the Halt Fentanyl Act help? And what else needs to happen to secure our border?
The Halt Fentanyl Act basically classified fentanyl as a class one drug with heroin, morphine. It's flowing into this country. And the Democrats, again, and under this administration, are just blind to letting anybody of any country, anywhere, to come in. The cartels are running the border now. The Democrats keep saying that it's only coming in points of entry. What points of entry? The border is wide open. Shemaine, we've got over 5 million in the country today. When this administration's over with, it will let, we could possibly potentially have over 15 million illegals in this country. And look at the terrorists that are on the terrorist watch list now, which were not there under President Trump. We are a nation of borders, and they're just ignoring this. And they're doing it for one reason, for power, to remain in political office. That's the only reason they're doing it. That's the only reason they can be doing it. There's no logical explanation for doing this. So to solve the fentanyl crisis, you shut the borders down. You finish the wall. And Shemaine, I've been there. The steel is there that was started, that the wall was started on with President Trump. It's been paid for. It's rusting. They can make designated points of entry. They have no intentions of doing so, though.
We were just at a military event where Ted played at a concert for a fundraiser for a military charity. And it breaks my heart, and I know yours too, that we are helping migrants, some who come with good intentions, many who don't. We're not even helping our own veterans. They're homeless, and they need mental, emotional help and support, and they're not getting that, but yet we're handing it out, doling it out to migrants. Is that going to change?
Not under this administration, and you hit a good point. Yeah, I feel for our law enforcement. Imagine stopping a car, a speeding car, and not knowing who's in it, not having a driver's license, not knowing what background check. I mean, when we went to McAllen, Texas, they all had a cardboard, this was during the COVID, the height of the COVID pandemic. They were getting on the plane. No one tested them. No one, you know, there's no identification. And that's happening all over this country, and has happened under an administration that has turned a blind eye. And the fentanyl that's coming across, controlled by the gangs, as one DEA agent told me, there are no treatment plans that can occur in a morgue. Fentanyl's killed over 100,000 of young people, and it's affecting all ages, but mainly 18 to 49. And I feel for our young people. I feel for our law enforcement. And I feel for the municipalities of where a lot of these innocent people are going. We all saw the child dropped over the wall over the last few days, 4 years old. I mean, it's unheard of, and it's so sad. It doesn't have to happen. It's intentional. And I think the American people, again, will hold this administration accountable for it.
I hope so. I'm constantly waking up with a sore neck, but it's not because I sleep wrong. It's because I'm shaking my head no all the time. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. I hope and pray that you come back again soon with better news, and that we can change the trajectory of this country.
I sure hope so. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless. Coming up next, we have a Turning Point ambassador and contributor, cute conservative Alex Clark, joining us live next to share more about how she's bridging the gap between the next generation and right now. Stay tuned. Here's an influencer making a trendy video about it on TikTok. Take a look. Somewhere in the multiverse, you and me, the world. Joining us live now to discuss, host of Poplitics and The Spillover, Alex Clark. Alex, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what's your reaction to this kind of trend?
It's very interesting because a lot of conservatives actually are defending this. They're saying everyone deserves the opportunity to die with dignity, and that they don't see anything necessarily wrong with this, that it is this woman's choice if she wants to go ahead and, use euthanasia, I guess, to end her life. Because she has a terminal illness. What I find interesting is that the influencer has defended this and her family deciding to go this route, saying, well, my grandmother knows that she has about 6 months left and she doesn't want to do chemo. Well, you don't have to do chemo. It's not a requirement. The grandmother could choose to forgo chemo and then die naturally. How many doctors have been wrong saying that somebody has, you know, only a certain amount of time to live, and then they go on and live years beyond that? So that's the first flaw within this argument. The second thing is the conservatives that are defending this and saying that there's nothing wrong with it and that everybody should have this choice if they're faced with a terminal illness or what have you. There are countries already in Europe, the Netherlands, I believe, or Norway, I'm getting confused, but it's one of them. It might be Norway, but they are already now supporting euthanasia in circumstances of depression. So they're talking to teens and 20 somethings, young people that are struggling with depression, saying, you know, we'll offer you euthanasia for that. So just like with the LGBTQ stuff and all of this, where we said this is a slippery slope, we say yes to one thing, it's going to digress to a bunch of other stuff. That's exactly what's going to happen with this euthanasia thing.
You're actually an influencer yourself, and I love watching your videos on Instagram. You've used your platform on social media and with Turning Point USA to use the pop culture as a bridge for the next generation and politics. Describe how that works.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know what's interesting is that I was in pop radio for several years before working for Turning Point USA, and I always wanted to be able to kind of talk about both things that matter to me. I love consuming pop culture. I love celebrity gossip and entertainment news. I know not everybody does, but I really love it, except that all the outlets that cover it were always very left-leaning. TMZ, E! News, People Magazine, all of these different places put out stories with a very left-wing filter on them. And I just thought, what if we had a conservative voice that exclusively covered these topics? But without the leftist propaganda. And so I created my show, Politics with Turning Point USA. And what's really incredible about a show like Politics and the conservative movement is that pop culture is something everybody is consuming, whether you're on the left or the right. These are stories that everybody is talking about, except that now I get to give them a conservative point of view. They're going to click on something because it features a celebrity that they like following or like hearing about. And then all of a sudden, they're going to get kind of a red pill moment, which is really unique because conservatives typically cover pop culture only through the lens of, well, I hate this. Why shouldn't be supporting Hollywood? Why does anyone care about celebrities? The reality is a lot of people care about what celebrities are doing. It's fun to talk about, and it is such a neutral, non-aggressive way to bring up conservative ideas in conversation.
I used to diligently every single day watch Entertainment Tonight and watch E! News and things like that. But after 2020, after I went down the rabbit hole, so to speak, I can't even stomach it. So thank you for bringing conservative values to current trends in pop culture. And speaking of Turning Point, it's hosting a young women's leadership conference soon, and I know you're going to be there. Who should be at the event, and what are they going to learn?
Yeah, Turning Point USA hosts the largest women's conference in the country every year. It is June 9th through 11th in Dallas, so it's coming up. We're about 2 weeks away. And what's crazy about this conference, it is like Coachella for conservatives. You have thousands of women, all ages, by the way. So whether you are a grandmother or you are a teenager, you are welcome. We even have had littler kids come with an adult parent, but thousands of women up and jumping up and down screaming for conservative icons like Candace Owens and Laura Trump. We have a bunch of other people speaking this year, Erica Kirk. It's going to be just the biggest conservative event that you've ever seen in your life. And every year it's a theme. So this year we're doing a 1970s theme because so many of the lies that women believe kind of stems from that original feminist movement in the 70s. So we're putting on our bell bottoms and that we're going to talk about all the issues that women face and the different lies that we've been told over the different decades and debunking them. So it's a blast. You can still get tickets at keepusa.com/YWLS. And there's a discount code. If you want to use Poplitics, you will get 50% off.
I love it. And as a Turning Point ambassador myself, I'm so bummed that I can't make it this year. This is I know. I need to go. Okay, so switching gears real quick. Is there a trending Poplitics topic that you want to discuss before we go?
Sorry, this part you might want to take out.
No, I don't think so. No, like
I'm trying to think of what I covered in the last couple days that would be interesting. Well, obviously today we have the Target boycott. Target just came out. They actually, I don't know if you saw this, but in the last couple hours, they just made a statement addressing the boycott. They are blaming conservatives. They're not admitting that a lot of the merchandise that they are selling, like binders and tucking garments for minors, they're not admitting that that's extreme. And so that's why they're moving it to the back of the store where it's not going to be seen by many. They're blaming conservatives, saying that conservatives are violent and scary. So to help with their employee safety, they are moving this stuff. Now, there has been no proof posted or submitted by Target of conservatives coming in there and scaring employees about this, but I think that just our boycott is maybe scaring them, but they don't want to admit that. But they said they are still standing with the LGBTQIA community loud and proud. They're just going to move the merchandise so that employees won't be in danger from the radical conservative.
Yeah, and so they don't end up like Budweiser, right?
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the actual truth. So really what's interesting is that this entire Target boycott, you know, it was really up to the men, I think, to make the Bud Light boycott successful. And this Target boycott is really up to the conservative women. We are the ones that shop there. We have to be the ones to take a stand, at least for June, I think forever, but at least for June, do not shop at Target. I know that Public Square is an amazing resource. They have already started posting every alternative from skincare to toilet paper, swim trunks, swimsuits, jeans, different brands, different stores that do share our conservative values that you can shop at for these items instead of going Target now amidst this boycott. So it's not that hard, I promise you. It's just a little different. You may have to go to a few different places to get your items or order them from a few different places, but you can do it. And this stuff really makes a difference. If we can do what the men did with Bud Light to Target, that is going to be a huge culture shift.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? It's really attacking women when we talk about the LGBTQ IA plus, I think it is, and the trans movement. It's attacking real women. And I understand even at Target, they had a product by a Satanist that came out and said something like, Satan loves LGBTQ or something like that.
Yes. And of course, and we know that's true as Christian conservatives. We know that Satan does love the LGBTQ IA community. Satan does love pronouns because Satan is the father of confusion. He wants you to be confused and have you in that headspace. He wants you to hate your body, to hate yourself. Of course, that just plays right into his demands. But you know what's interesting? You bring up that the whole alphabet cult actually really hates women. It's true. There's a serial killer in Finland this week who murdered multiple women and children and just announced that he is a trans woman and lesbian, so that they would put him in a women's prison. There was just two women that were impregnated by a trans woman at a New Jersey facility, a New Jersey prison recently. So these predators are masquerading and lying and saying that they're women so that they have more access to harm women. And because nobody wants to hurt these people's feelings, nobody is willing to stand up against that. But it is hugely problematic.
Well, I'm so grateful that there are people like you and Charlie Kirk and Candace Owen, people who are speaking out and standing up for conservative rights and making it, I love watching politics. You make it fun. And you know what else you don't do is you really don't bash people. You just present ideas.
Absolutely, just present ideas. And that's the fun part about getting to cover pop culture. I think that is a non-aggressive way to kind of do that. And that's why I'm saying people watch my show and they say, hey, I'm more in the middle. I'm unsure how to vote. But after watching your videos now, I feel like maybe I understand the conservative perspective a little bit more because it's non-aggressive. And I'm not just like, let's talk about unemployment statistics today. You know, I could do that. And that there's a place for that in the conservative movement. But in the conservative movement, we also need to have fun and just have shows that are entertaining. And I like to do that with my podcast, Spillover, where I interview people with jaw-dropping stories, and also politics, where I cover pop culture.
I love that. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. God bless.
Thank you so much. Good to see you.
You too. Coming up, a missionary musician and activist who is intent on bringing the light into this dark world. Proverbs 29:2 says that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And Christian musician Sean Foyt believes that wholeheartedly, and he joins us live now to discuss. Sean, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
You've been passionate about this principle of Christians being involved in politics. Can you share more about why that's heavy on your heart?
Well, I don't just talk about it. I actually did it. And so it hits really close to home because, you know, I grew up as a kid that was on the mission field all over the world. And God really didn't start turning my heart towards America until I started having kids. And then I started to see the future our nation was going and the things that were being pushed on my children. And I was like, you know what? Like, part of the Great Commission is to bring the kingdom of God into every, you know, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, every tribe, nation, tongue, every sphere of society. And this is one sphere of society that's really dark. And we're at the place that we're at in America in a lot of ways because we haven't had bold gospel witnesses in the halls of government. So anyway, that's what really starts stirring in my heart. I raised my hand as a long-haired worship leader. Ended up running for Congress in California in a very blue district. and I learned and peeked behind the veil and saw the darkness and the heaviness and realized there wasn't light and there wasn't hope. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't just talk about it or believe in it. I actually took the next step and enrolled myself to be a part of the solution.
Do you think you'll run again?
I don't know. I mean, I think after going through what I went through, I might have to have an angel with a scroll appear to me. But I do feel like I have actually more influence now being outside than I would inside. And I can see how God used that season to prepare me for the one that I'm in today.
You know, it's such a shame that what they do when you decide to get into politics, you want to serve the people, but what they do is they go after you. They try to destroy you, and it prevents good people like you from getting into politics and serving the people.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dirty game. I mean, I know that in my race in California, it was the conservatives or the Republicans that took me out. They felt like I was way too much of a Jesus follower and way too much of a Bible guy. And they wanted somebody that was a lot more progressive. And I just wasn't willing to, bow on my convictions. At the end of my life, I'm accountable to one person, and that's God. And so, I was holding the line in sense on what I believe in. And, you know, there's not a lot of that in government, unfortunately. There's a lot of people that bow and power to the fear of man.
Yeah, you know, I was very close to getting into politics myself. But like you, I didn't actually put my name in the ballot or anything, but I talked to my husband about it. And he said, you know, when you do that, it's like you're going to fight against Satan in Washington, D.C. And the fiery darts, I mean, they keep coming until they absolutely destroy you. But don't give up. We need you. So don't give up. I hope you do run again.
Maybe at some point. I mean, I think doing what I did allowed me to see things that I probably wouldn't have seen otherwise, which enabled us to respond in the way that we did during the pandemic. And, you know, I knew that there was agendas at work, there was darkness at work. And part of the reason why we rose up and started a movement called Let Us Worship and swept across the country, and it's still continuing today as we go capital to capital.
I love that. A recent report suggests that religion, and I hesitate in using that word, religion is becoming less and less important to Americans. And if we look at our society, maybe obviously we can see that. A godless society helps no one. Obviously, poll numbers aren't always the most accurate or most important, but what's your reaction to that report, especially in light of your experience with the recent revival at Asbury University?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely a progressive secularization. There's a movement for that. There's a self-absorption and entitlement. We don't need God. However, I think some of that is really geared towards, you know, even it says religion in the way in which it's been seen by a generation. However, there is a strong desire for relationship with God. And there is a strong desire for people to know their creator. And we see that all over America. As we go from city to city, from capital city to capital city, we're seeing young people, Generation Z, with a hunger for God like I've never seen before. And so I think in some ways there's a rejection maybe of, you know, formalized religion, but I'm seeing a really deep hunger for relationship with God.
Yeah. And you've written a book entitled Bold, Moving Forward in Faith, Not Fear. Share more about that, will you?
Yeah. So this book really kind of details a little bit of our journey during my congressional campaign and then the shift over to Let Us Worship. And the pushback that I thought we were getting that was so intense during the congressional campaign even ramped. I mean, it just paled in comparison to what took place during COVID. And it was a preparation for how crazy it was going to be when the attacks and came. And I love to use that line, you know, Billy Graham said, when a courageous man takes a stand, the spines of everyone else are stiffened. And we need boldness in America right now. There is a spirit trying to intimidate and push us into a corner and get us to shut up and get us to fall in line. And we need courage and boldness. We need what they had in the book of Acts. And so in the book, I share about my own personal journey of acquiring that and walking through the fires of incredible pushback, persecution and death threats and Antifa and Satanists and governors and mayors that came against us, and the refining of the process in my life. And my prayer is that this would be an offering that would encourage a lot of people and say, hey man, if that guy did it, like I can do it in my life too.
I love that. And you're also partnering with Turning Point Faith in the Faith Kingdom to Capital Tour. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So God laid it on my heart to have this mandate for us to go to every single capital city in America, all 50 of them over the next 2 years, and bring his kingdom. You know, it says Jesus, when he told the disciples how to pray, he said, pray like this: my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God wants this place down here to look like that place up here, that place up there. And how we do that is through really doing what they're doing in heaven, which is what? Prayer, their worship, you know, around the throne of God, worshiping day and night. And so we want to take that atmosphere and bring it into every capital across America. And so right now we've done 12 capitals. We have about 15 more to do this year, and then we'll do the remainder next year as we approach the general election in 2024. And we're already just so blown away. I mean, thousands of people are coming at every Capitol. We're getting invitations into the rotunda inside to worship. Governors are showing up, senators. I mean, it's just been phenomenal what we've seen God do.
I love that. And as a Turning Point ambassador myself, I want to participate in that and help let people know about it. So I will be posting things on my social media as well. But what's next for you besides this tour? Are you writing any more books? Are you making any more music?
Yeah, I actually have an album that's coming out this Friday. It's called Kingdom to the Capitol. And it was captured in Washington, D.C., with thousands of people worshiping there. I mean, just the most epic historical backdrop right in front of the U.S. Capitol. And then behind us was the Washington Monument. And in that sacred space of real estate, we had the most powerful worship service to Jesus. And we captured it, and it comes out on an album. You can actually pre-order it today. You go to iTunes or Apple Music. You can type in my name, Sean Foyt, and Kingdom to the Capitol, and it'll pop up. You get two immediate songs for free, or as you pre-order it, it comes with two songs, and then the rest of the album comes out this Friday. It'll be in Spotify and Amazon and everywhere music is sold.
I love that. And now we have about a minute left, but I'm curious. My husband's a guitar player. You're a guitar player. What's your process for writing music?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I always feel like God, I feel like every season's different, you know, like he gives me a collections of songs or anthems, and I am supposed to steward those and release them. And then once I release them, it's like he gives me more. And so what's so cool about this Friday is it represents a collection of anthems and songs that we've been just belting out across America for the last year, you know, and now we're taking those same songs and going capital to capital. So, yeah, I mean, my process is really seasonal. Like sometimes it'll be kind of more intimate songs, prayer room, closet kind of songs that are chill. Other times it'll be these anthems that we scream over our nation. And that's kind of the season I'm coming, these songs are from. It's just the really powerful blasting of the truth of who God is over America.
I love that. Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Stay bold and brave. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Coming up next, a teacher joins us to discuss her fight against outrageous teacher unions. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona tweets this: teachers know what is best for their kids because they are with them every day. We must trust teachers. I'm sorry, whose kids? Many teachers are very well-intentioned and very competent and amazing, but do they always know what's best for your child? Joining us live now to discuss, longtime teacher and founder of For Kids and Country, Rebecca Friedrichs. Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so glad to be here, especially to speak on this particular topic. Thank you.
Well, what's your reaction to the Secretary's statement?
Well, unfortunately, what Secretary Cardona doesn't seem to understand is that parents know what's best for their kids. And real teachers who are in the profession to serve are there to serve parents and to serve students and to do what's best for those students. And it's the parent who drives that. So if a teacher is struggling or a child is struggling, it's the parent who's going to help them figure out how to direct that child. The parent is the first teacher of the child. So one of the things I want to point out to your audience is Secretary Cardona is using a longtime union talking point. I don't say teacher union because this union hides behind the name teacher, pretends to represent teachers. They do not represent great teachers. They've actually destroyed the teaching profession and have really done a lot of damage to great teachers. So he's using their longtime talking points and trying to propagandize America into buying into this communist idea that the schools are the center of society and the teachers are the experts and they know it all. It's just a lie. It's not true. America's real teachers, the great ones who really care about children and our republic, have been silenced by these unions. And Cardona is a part of that, unfortunately. So we have activists masquerading as teachers. They've taken over many classrooms, and they're pushing a very radical agenda that has captured our schools in many cases and captured the teaching profession. So the more we can push against his statement and to help people to understand parents are the ones who should be in charge, the quicker we can remove these unions from our schools so the parents and real teachers can get back in the driver's seat, the better off America will be.
Do Oakland County teachers really care about what's best for their kids? Because they recently engaged in a weeks-long strike, keeping their kids out of the classrooms that whole time due to what some would say are outrageous teacher union demands. And I know that's something that's intimately important to you. As the leader of the Supreme Court case, Friedrichs versus CTA, talk more about that, would you, Rebecca?
Well, what's going on in Oakland and in districts all around the country is the unions are using teachers as pawns to push their radical agenda. And it really is a communist agenda. When you dig into it, it has Marxist roots. They're pushing critical race theory, radical sexualized agenda, sexualizing your children, undermining families. This is all a communist agenda. So what do the unions do? They go out and they have all these strikes. And they literally use our teachers as pawns. They use our children as pawns. And if you look at their demands, first of all, no great teacher would ever leave the classroom, ever leave children abandoned. All great teachers want to teach and want to be with the kids. But when you look at the demands of these unions, they want, no charter schools, no choice for parents. They want to defund the police, these sorts of things that have nothing to do with teaching or the teaching profession. So they're really exposing themselves for what they really are. And I have had teachers call me from all around the country and tell me that Antifa is showing up to these teacher union strikes. So what people have to understand is there might be some radicalized teachers on the front lines of these strikes. They're either teachers who've been manipulated, propagandized, especially through our educational system, some of the younger teachers. But there's also people like Antifa and Black Lives Matter who are in bed with the unions. The unions brag that they helped to start Black Lives Matter. So they're on the front lines, and this is a big lie. So America thinks, oh, all teachers are, for these strikes. No, no, no. The majority of teachers are against the strikes. And the teachers, if you look toward the back of the strike, those who have been forced to be out there, who've been bullied into it. When you cross a picket line, you're bullied for the rest of your career. So a lot of teachers go along to get along, but they're terrified. They don't want to be there. They resent it. They want to be in the classroom. So one of the things I ask people is, could you please adopt a teacher? We at our website for kidsincountry.org, we have adopt a teacher. Put your arm around them. Educate them that their unions are so evil and help them to escape the unions. Since our lawsuit that you mentioned, no one has to pay the unions anymore. We were all forced to pay them as a condition of employment for over 40 years. Most teachers don't know they've been freed. So help us adopt a teacher and then lead them to our union exit information where they can get out of the unions free of charge and stop being controlled by these tyrants masquerading as teachers.
So when you say adopt a teacher, how does that actually happen? Do you, just via email and communication with them? Or do you actually mean going there and speaking with them in person, which actually would be a great idea?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked this. So the hardest thing about helping teachers to understand they no longer have to fund the unions and don't have to be in this corrupt system anymore is getting a hold of them. I don't know every teacher in America, but pretty much everybody knows a teacher or someone who's in the educational system, a janitor, a bus driver, a principal, anyone in that system is within the corrupt union system, or anyone who's just a government employee. They're all funding this corrupt union system. So all you do is it's someone you already know. Maybe it's someone in your church or your synagogue or your neighborhood or your family. You put your arm around them. You go to our website for kidsincountry.org, click on Adopt a Teacher. It literally takes 3 minutes to read the little flyer on Adopt a Teacher. It's the 6 E's you follow: embrace them, educate them, empower them. And we give you all the tools to empower them. We even have a teacher toolkit that answers all their frequently asked questions that you likely can't answer because you don't understand the corrupt mafia-like environment these teachers are trying to survive in inside. So adopt a teacher is definitely, it's a personal relationship. It's someone you know. Of course, you could do it via email, but it would be far more effective. Take this teacher out to tea, invite them to your house, go for a walk with them. They need skin on people to defend them. Just imagine if you worked in an environment where the mafia was in charge and where they bullied you every single day. That's what teachers have been suffering for literally, basically since the 60s. So stand with them. They need boots, you know, boots on the ground, grassroots neighbors, standing with them and educating them and helping them to escape this corrupt system.
There are a lot of great teachers out there. I had a few of them. I remember them specifically and how they basically put their arm around me and helped me to get to the next level, helped me to do better. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us. God bless. You know, we need to stay healthy so we can go out and support teachers and do all these things that we need to do. But if you're not healthy, if you're not getting your fruits and vegetables every day, you can do that. And I want to tell you how. I have tried this product called Field of Greens. And every day, Ted and I both do this. We take a scoop of Field of Greens, put it in our water bottle, and we sip it throughout the day. If you want to get a discount, if you want to get your health back on track, this is an easy way to do that. Go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code FREEDOM for a discount. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code FREEDOM. Now, there's something else that you need in order to be healthy, and that's having access to clean water. Chances are your drinking water isn't what you think it is. Sentry H2O has a quick and easy water filtration system that Ted and I have, and we love. Sentry filters out harmful toxins like ammonia, arsenic, pesticides, volatile organic compounds, VOCs. Why are they in your water anyway? Sentry filters enrich your water with nutrients like calcium and magnesium. Visit sentryh2o.com and use promo code Shemaine for a discount. Well, thank you for watching Faith and Freedom. In a few weeks, my new book, Killer House, will be available for pre-sale. So be the first to get notified by subscribing to my newsletter at shemainenugent.rocks. Mark your calendar, share this show. I'll be here every Sunday. I hope you will too. As Esther 4:14 says, reminds us, perhaps you were born for such a time as this.